smiled at me. Me and my drum. I played my drum for him. I played my best for him. Then he smiled at me. Me and my drum. Thank you.
This is the Quality News Network. In response to a deranged killer shooting rampage at Virginia Tech, Congress passed legislation today meant to keep guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. Both the House and Senate unanimously approved the bill, which toughens background checks for gun ownership. President Bush is expected to sign it into law. President Bush did sign new legislation today that requires more fuel-efficient vehicles and increased use of ethanol. The White House calls the new law a major step toward energy independence. On Capitol Hill, Congress passed legislation strengthening the Freedom of Information Act. Penalties have also been enhanced for agencies violating the Act's provisions. A House panel is challenging the White House over the CIA's secret destruction of interrogation videotapes. The House Intelligence Committee is preparing subpoenas to force CIA officials to tell what they know about when and why the tapes were destroyed and who gave the order. A hearing is set for Friday at which the White House will have a chance to convince a judge to keep courts out of their investigation. In Jacksonville, Florida, city fire officials say three people are dead in an explosion today that rocked a chemical plant, the plant manufacturer's Ecotain, a gasoline additive that reduces tailpipe emissions. Funerals are being held throughout Iraq today for the 20 people killed in three suicide bombings yesterday. In southern Pakistan, rescue workers continuing to investigate the wreckage of a passenger train that crashed last night. 56 people were killed. More than 150 were injured. Also in Pakistan, south of Lahore, a truck plowed into a rickshaw carrying children to school this morning. At least 11 children were killed in that accident. The UN adopted a non-binding measure calling for a global moratorium on the death penalty, a resolution opposed by the U.S., China, and Iran. The Vatican also supported the anti-death penalty vote. In spite of numerous warnings over the past 5 years, the U.S. is unprepared for a range of disasters, including biological attacks and a flu pandemic. That's according to a report from a watchdog group. The bird flu circulating in Europe, Asia, and Africa is said to be the most immediate threat. And Russian President Vladimir Putin has been named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We'll take a look at business news just after this.
Did you know 1 billion adults around the world cannot read? Two-thirds are women, many prohibited from learning. The rate of illiteracy is declining, but the number who can't read has been increasing. These are more than just numbers, they're people. They're your friends, neighbors, and even your family. Consider these numbers. In America, if you didn't speak English in your home, you're 44% more likely to be reading below the most basic level. If you didn't complete high school, the chances are good that you can't read. 85% of prisoners are illiterate, as are the kids who wind up in juvenile court. Here are the facts. If you can read, you can learn, get a better job, and make more money. If you can't read, you can't learn, you can't find a good job, you can't make a decent living. Choose smart. Learn to read. If you're out of school, find a literacy program through your local library.
This message on literacy has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your local library.
A U.S. businessman has purchased a rare copy of the Magna Carta for more than $21 million in order to place the 13th century document into the National Archives. The Magna Carta is widely considered the precursor to the Declaration of Independence and the first notable charter guaranteeing citizens basic freedoms and property rights. The House passed bipartisan legislation to keep millions of middle Americans from being caught in the alternative minimum tax conundrum. The Senate has already approved the measure, and the White House also supports it. Enacted in 1969, the AMT is an aging parallel tax system that could have affected families making just $67,000 a year. U.S. home foreclosures rose 68% last month compared with 1 year ago as homeowners failed to keep up with rising mortgage payments. Morgan Stanley officials disclosed an extra $5.7 billion write-down of mortgage-related assets, taking a fourth-quarter loss to nearly $10 billion. Light sweet crude oil currently trading at $91.24 a barrel, gold at $805.40 an ounce. At today's close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 25 points to close at 13,207. NASDAQ up 5 points, the S&P 500 off 2. And there's always more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
any musician, the best music happens when the sheet music gets put aside and the gang just sits down and jams. Same thing here on The Horn, America's best liberal talk hosts free-forming together for an hour a night. Welcome to The Horn Section. Right here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. Now let's crank up the jam. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Okie dokie. Love those little things that happen right before you're ready to go on the air, like when you bang your knee into the desk. Wow, that's smart. Woof. Okay, the stars are disappearing from before my eyes, and it'll be okay, and we'll get through this program. This is The Horn Section. I'm Bob Kincaid. Here with the indefatigable Peter Godbold.
Good evening to you, sir. Bob, I'm reminded of Goldilocks and the three beds, but I think we should tell it with Bob Kincaid in the three studios. And Bob Kincaid didn't like the little bitty studio because it was too small. And Bob finally decided on the big studio because he wouldn't bang his leg anymore. Poor baby.
Oh, this thing's going to be purple by morning. You don't know what I just did.
I've got the
official the broadcast chair of the Mansion Studio here has rollers on it.
Oh, no.
And you know, so, there's so much stuff down. You know, sometimes it'll kind of hang up or something on, you know, some little something that it's banging into, and you kind of give it a shove. Well, I gave it a shove and drove, and it slipped, and I drove my knee squarely into the corner of the desk. Like I was mad at it or something.
Ouch. Ouch. Well, you know, there's a lot of satisfaction in beating the hell out of an inanimate object.
Well, I mean, no. I mean, have you ever been standing there and you pulled a cabinet out into your head?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's not the cabinet's fault, but, you know, your initial impression is to unleash an absolute torrent of words you would be ashamed to let your mother knew you knew how to use so well right at the cabinet.
I'm famous for opening a cabinet and then leaving the cabinet door open, then bending over to do something and straightening up really quickly and then banging my head on the edge of the cabinet door. And it hurts like hell. It inevitably hit the point.
Oh! Yeah. How many times have I done that? And you know, that's the beauty of having somebody like Agnes around the house, because now we're both klutzes and we look out for each other. And you know, I'll be standing there, she'll have the cabinet open, and she'll be bent down. Honey, cabinet is open. Cabinet is open.
I need one for myself, like the cars, you know, when you back up and it goes beep, 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 something like that.
Cabinet is
cabinet.
A jar. Cabinet is
yeah,
a jar.
Exactly. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, sort of a host-enabled house. You know, hosts are disabled in so many ways.
Well, you know, it's like the old joke about the Republican who found out that most accidents haven't happened within 5 miles of home, so he moved. Oh, I got a million of them. I got a million of them.
Yeah.
Were you listening to the news, Peter?
You know, no. I was searching through my papers for some Huckabee quotes, and I missed the news, but I did find my little treasure trove of hateful Huckabees. What did the news have to say?
Well, you know, I'm trying to. Ever since our friend Jim a few nights ago mentioned that he didn't know how I did it every night, you know, just wallowing in such negativity. You know, I think about these things. I take what you guys say to heart. It really matters to me. And so, you know, I'm trying to find. You know, I found a little happy story about us winning a battle against the fundies in Kentucky, and you know, I'm trying to look for some happy stuff.
Well, I have to tell you, this reminds me of a little story. It won't take but a second about trying to make things happy, and it's the that lady opens the door, right, and it's a telegram. And she says, oh, I've never had a singing telegram before. He says, madam, this isn't a singing telegram. Well, just go ahead and sing it anyway, because I've always wanted to have a singing telegram. And he says, well, madam, I don't know if I should. And she says, please, please, please. And he says, okay, bum, 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 your sister Rose is dead. Okay, so the reason I bring that up.
Oh, he'll be here all week. Try the veal.
I bring that up is it's really hard to spin things happy when they're not.
Oh, it is. It is. And but you know, when we have those little moments where we have some happy news, I think we really have to capitalize on it. And I heard some happy news, Peter, in the top of the hour news from the Quality News Network.
Okay, I'm gay.
Did you say you're gay?
Well, that too, but it goes without saying.
Just checking.
Okay.
I didn't know if anything had changed.
No, nothing really.
Okay. Well, no, apparently, I mean, you know, this is the kind of thing that can avert war. This is the kind of thing where nation states can find common ground, and on that one little piece of common ground can come together and seek peace and harmony and joy in the world. And it would appear that we have found it with Iran.
Really?
I wouldn't lie to you.
Okay.
The United Nations, you know, a bunch of liberals. The United Nations has proposed a moratorium on the death penalty.
Okay, that's interesting. For all countries?
Yeah, worldwide. Worldwide moratorium on the death penalty.
Oh, we'll never abide by it.
Well, that's the thing, though. You have to find your happiness where you can get it, Peter. Because, bless their little pointed heads and evil black little hearts, the respective ambassadors to the United Nations of the United States and Iran joined together in a common bond of brotherhood and voted against the worldwide moratorium on the death penalty.
Jesus Christ, why are we always in line and in lockstep with these ridiculous fascist countries? It just kills me.
I know.
We are. We're always in complete agreement with some ridiculous company, you know, country.
Well, you know, what it boils down to is they want to preserve the right for the death penalty, because if by some odd chance Iran should ever happen to capture George Bush, they want to be able to impose it. And the same thing goes for Mr. Ahmadinejad.
Good point.
But, you know,
I personally think he ought to be ridden around the country in a circus, like a lion's cage with the bars, you know, and so that he can be ridiculed from coast to coast and then ship him overseas to the Middle East.
Ahmadinejad or Bush?
Bush.
Both.
Both.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Iranians need to have their death penalty so that they can keep on saying that there are no homosexuals in Iran, because they execute them as quickly as they find them.
They do.
And Bush needs the death penalty because he hasn't had as big a laugh as that time when he ordered the execution of Carla Faye Tucker and made fun of her.
He did laugh. He laughed after he made fun of her. He mocked her.
He mocked her, yes.
Which is what the Roman soldiers did to Jesus, by the way.
Well, you know, WWJD. No, that would be WWLD. What would a legionnaire do? Well, he'd gamble for the raiment and mock him while he was dying. I think George Bush is probably a reincarnated Roman legionnaire.
Why does nobody get that but us liberals? What kind of dope is it? I don't know. It's la-la dope. I don't get what they're doing.
But there was a little bit more happy news.
Oh, cool.
Or interesting news. There was apparently an auction, and I don't know how the British let this get away from them. There was an auction in New York today of an original of the Magna Carta.
An original? Imagine that.
I mean, I guess, you know, there were a bunch of barons and so forth, and everybody got a copy, you know, a bunch of busy little monks sitting there scribbling away, because, you know, they were the only ones who knew how to write back then. But
right.
There was an original of the Magna Carta, and it was auctioned in New York today. And it was bought by an American businessman who says he intends to donate it to the National Archives.
Okay.
They asked George Bush what he thought about it, and he said, well, it's just a GD piece of paper.
Yes.
No, that's a joke. That's what he said about the Constitution.
Well, he did say that, but I was floored that he might say it again.
Well, no, The guy actually bought it because he had a message from the White House that they'd run out of toilet paper, and they'd run out of constitutions.
Well, speaking of archived material, you talked earlier, and I was between multitasking, about the fire, and since I missed part of it, I went out and Googled and read a little bit about it, and yes, there was a fire, and you know, and the whole bit, something about it started in electrical closet and Cheney's records or some rigmarole. Did in fact the logs, the visitors
logs?
No,
that's me making stuff up. I'm a
okay,
bad person.
Because there is some thought that that's what he was doing. It's
I'm
not
sure
you.
That's what he was doing. You know, I'm sure that he keeps, I'm sure he's, you know how it is in the gambling world and bookies would keep their records on flash paper?
Yeah.
I'm sure you know. I'm sure that the Dick Cheney has a ream of flash paper that he writes all his memos on, and if they think, and you know, if the heat gets, you know, if the heat comes on, you know, just with the lighter and gone, not even an ash.
Yeah, that's how do they do that anyway? They embed some gunpowder in the paper.
Yeah. Although there are papers that are so fine that they will burn without leaving an ash. I used to roll my own cigarettes and stuff, and there's a couple of nice brands of paper that when, I mean, you can just hold a piece of it up and light it and put drop it in the ashtray and there's nothing left.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Bush being Bush, I wouldn't be surprised if he writes on rolling paper.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me either. And then, of course, there's the crayons, the presidential crayons. I wonder if he has a 64-color box.
Well, no, because I've heard that that just leads to Satanism. Nobody needs more than 8 colors.
Really?
Yeah.
is one of them flesh?
Oh, yeah, well.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, there's that flesh one, and then there's that burnt sienna. And, if you can make people burnt sienna, then, you can have an integrated coloring book, and you know how it is with Republicans. That just won't do.
Yeah. Well, I've been... a couple nights ago, I was talking about the family Research Council, voter values summit that took place down in South Florida, and Huckabee spoke there, and I sort of introduced it, but I didn't get nearly into it. And what's interesting to me about the comments that he made there is these are the comments that he's not making just the Republican Party in general. These are the comments that he is making to a very specific group of people who attended that, and that very specific group is the extremely conservative, evangelical, political activists. So I view his remarks as he stated them at the Values Voter Voter Values Summit, I keep confusing that, as being a real window into how he thinks. And some of the remarks we've heard before of the bit about, Al Gore was given a Nobel Peace Prize and he made a joke about it, but there was a glitch, and so they're going to have to hold it because they need to recount the ballots in Florida. Huge laughter. And I told that one the other night. And then there was one about the 10,000 baby boomers are going to sign up for Social Security. And if you think that's bad, wait till the aging hippies find out they can get free drugs. And they all laughed. So, you know, it's a good old boy circuit. And also it points out in here when he was introduced that his rock and roll band, he plays in a rock and roll band called Capital Offense. Isn't that just precious? And he has played for 2 presidential inaugural balls, which I guess it's not too difficult to figure out which 2. And then there's a part that I didn't get to. He refers to group. He's speaking to them, and I'll pick up a few things out of some of these paragraphs. You are my roots. Applause. He says, prior to my getting into politics and becoming lieutenant governor for 3 years and a governor of 10.5 years, I was a pastor and a denominational president in my state of the Baptist faith, meaning in Alabama.
Arkansas.
He says was it Arkansas? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm a little touchy about that, so, you know. Easy.
Yeah, and anything that starts with the same letter, I'll always, you know, bite the first one out.
I know, it's real easy, Alabama, Arkansas, like you can tell the difference.
Right. Yeah, Alaska, they're all going to go to hell. And,
Arizona, already there, you know.
Yeah, and he goes on to say that any person who has been identified as a pastor has a seminary education, in other words, he's setting himself up as a religious authority, a theological degree, and so he establishes his credentials there, and he makes a joke about a lady asking him, she asked him, are you one of those narrow-minded Baptists who thinks that only Baptists are going to heaven? Now, this is a story, a joke he is relating to the crowd there, And he said to the lady, I said, no, lady, actually, I'm more narrow than that. I don't even think all the Baptists are going to make it to heaven. And there's all this laughter and applause. Do you see how cozy these people might as well be under the same sheet, snuggling
well,
together?
Well, interesting you should say sheet, because, you know, what you're talking about in essence here, you kind of ran past it, but it's worth remembering. Brother Huxterby wasn't just some preacher at a little white clabbered church, out in Elk Snort, Arkansas, okay?
Ah.
He was the Grand Kleagle of the entire Arkansas Baptist Convention.
Are you using Kleagle in the sense of a Kleeg light, like the Shining Star?
Well, I figured that's where you would go, but I was thinking more in terms of, you know, I mean, he was the Grand Dragon of all the of all the Southern Baptists in Arkansas.
He was indeed. He was indeed. He was not just any old Baptist. It's like I talk about my guest.
He
not
was the Baptist Pope
Baptist.
Of Arkansas.
He was the Baptist Pope of the rural South.
Without the fabulous amazing. Italian shoes and hat.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. He goes on to say, we are gathered here to talk about values. We're defined by what we value, what's important to us, what is non-negotiable for us, meaning everything we stand for, matters more than anything else in the world when we go and vote. In other words, single-issue divisive voting. some things we're not merely interested in, we are committed to, and that's a big difference. Negotiate freedom and the value of family, and the value of faith. And
oh, well, there's no code in that sentence.
Well, yeah, you really can't
family
too much of
family.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Of family.
Yeah. A freedom of family means non-freedom for anything except how they define family.
Exactly. And he goes on to turn up the heat in the next few paragraphs. The values of freedom are threatened today. Americans simply are not fully aware of the depth of the threat that we face from Islamo-fascism.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, ding, ding. He got points for that. I'm afraid that if we do not wake up and understand that this threat is one we cannot negotiate or placate, there's only one answer. We must eradicate it. Eradicate. Good word.
No, stop it. Read it. Come on. I got to have that again, please.
Okay, I'll read it. I'll read it without skipping any words. It says, and I'm afraid that if we do not wake up and understand that this threat is one that we cannot negotiate, accommodate, or placate, it is one which we must eradicate. Because we don't care whether it takes 1,000 days or 1,000 years, their goal is not simply to make sure your grandchildren don't live as well or have a nice home. They want your grandchildren not to live at all. And that's the complete. You see how that worked?
let's see. What are some of those online translation programs? I'd like to take that text, and I mean no offense to our many listeners in Germany, but I would like to translate it into German and see if it if somewhere in the speeches of Adolf Hitler it's not just like a dead match.
Oh, I bet it is, Bob. Mm-hmm. Bet it is, word for word.
Peter, he's talking about genocide.
Well, he literally was. That's the yes. I didn't have that word in my head, but
eradicate.
Eradicate.
I mean, I mean, let's make sure I didn't get it wrong. Go back again. Let me hit the little rewind button on Peter.
He leads in by saying, we are not fully aware of the depth of the threat we face from Islamo-fascism, and I'm afraid that if we do not wake up and understand that this threat is one that we cannot negotiate, accommodate, or placate, then there's a dash, he paused, and he says, it is one we must eradicate. Then he uses a dual word. He says, because they don't care whether it takes 1,000 years or 1,000 days. You know how people, when they're talking, they'll, like, use the wrong word. Anyway, he's saying we've got to eradicate them because they don't care if it takes 1,000 years
actually,
or 1,000 days.
Actually, that's a Freudian slip.
Well, some of this stuff is hard to decipher, too. But no.
No, because he uses we first, we don't care if it takes 1,000 days or 1,000 years.
Good point.
This man is scaring the dickens out of me, okay,
me
Peter?
Too, Bob. He is the devil.
Yes.
And then he turns it all around, Bob. He says, We are fighting an ideology that is rooted in a theocratic notion that would establish a theocracy on this earth, and for that to happen, all of us have to disappear. But do you see he's threatening them with a theocracy, but it's the wrong theocracy. It's not that theocracy is wrong.
He's a theocrat. And one theocrat is saying about another bunch of theocrats that he wants to eliminate them from planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last time anybody was talking like that, there were signs over gates that said Arbeit macht frei.
Yeah.
And the locals mm-hmm. learned to live with the smell of burning human bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know that you're not supposed to do, and actually, I've really, really tried.